Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient, and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. Empower yourself today and follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn by searching Get Legally Speaking to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient, and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. With over 3 million downloads and counting, do not miss out on learning more about a topic that interests you. Go over to our website at getlegallyspeaking.com and browse over 100 podcast episodes. Hello, and welcome back to our podcast at Get Legally Speaking. Our legal conversation today will be about separated parents and children's holidays. I am here with barrister and judge Miss Sarah Cooper from Thomas More Chambers in London. As well as being a highly experienced senior barrister in family law and a part-time judge who makes decisions in complex international family cases, and as a result of her in-depth knowledge on family law issues, she is a requested speaker at various significant domestic and international conferences. Sarah is also a member of the Resolution International Committee and a fellow of the International Academy of Family Lawyers. Sarah, thank you so much for joining me today.
That's an absolute pleasure. And what a great topic today, holidays. Who doesn't love a holiday?
Exactly. I mean, as a married couple with children, travel is not very complicated. Parents work together to make the decisions and organise the trips. Everything from the dates of travel to location and how much money you plan to spend or what you want to pack is all worked out ahead of the time by both of you. Sure, you may have a few spats while on vacation, but for the most part, things go smoothly. However, if you are separated or divorced from your partner, then making those travel plans and going on holidays with the children can be very different. Suddenly, a whole raft of issues arise when your ex says he or she does not want you to take the children away, or perhaps they disagree with where or how you are looking to take the children, to disagreements on even which airports you are to use. Sarah and I have seen a variety of disputed scenarios that have arisen between separated couples who have children together. Interestingly, according to the gov.uk statistics, there were 2.4 million separated families in Great Britain and approximately 3.6 million children as part of separated families 2020. So, the first thing we need to say about this conversation today is please note that this discussion is relative to being in England and Wales and travelling from the UK. Sarah will elaborate a little bit on why I've just had to say that. But let's start this off, Sarah, with the biggest question that I'm sure you certainly see in court, sitting as a judge and also practicing as a barrister, and I certainly have seen in my law firm. The biggest question, can my ex-partner stop me from taking my children or child on holiday? And do I have to give my ex details of the holiday that I'm taking our children onto?
Well, I think that the answer is, can your ex stop you from travelling overseas? The answer is certainly they can try to do so. Clearly, it's always going to be much better if you and your ex can agree things beforehand and always agree everything in writing. Very, very important to have things so that you can show other people what has been agreed.
And when we say writing, I mean, you could be text messages, you could be emails. Is that all sufficient, would you say? I mean, don't get really formal over it.
No, it doesn't have to be really formal, not as far as the English courts are concerned. But I would certainly suggest it's probably best in an email rather than a text so that you can print it off easily if you need to and carry it with you.
No.
Giving the ex details. Yes, giving them details is concerned. Well, if you have a reasonable relationship with the ex and the ex is seeing the children, then it is always preferable, because if both of you have parental responsibility, you should be consulting with each other and sharing important details. And one of those details is just brief details of where you're going to be. Judges are always concerned that the other parent should have those details, really mainly so that if anything should happen on the holiday, that the other parent knows about it. So it's really just for a practical reason that the courts would be looking for you to give your ex the details. But obviously, everything depends on the exact circumstances of your relationship with your ex.
No, indeed. I mean, I have to say, I had a client only a few weeks ago who said, oh God, I wish I never told him where I went, because he won't stop messaging us and calling us and FaceTiming and calling the location. But you're right. I mean, if tensions are really, really high and you just think, I just want to get away with the children or my child or whatever, and I want peace and quiet, there's that element of, do I have to? Do I really have to? Well, if the other party doesn't have an order from the court, you don't have to then, do you, really? Would you say? Is that a sticky question, Sarah?
I think it's
Sarah's
quite
looking at me in Zoom going, what?
I think it's quite a sticky question, Hattie.
Yes.
I think it's always going to be preferable that they have just the basic details.
Yes.
Be honest.
Yes, I think.
Now, of course, much of this does depend on whether they have parental responsibility. For any child where they are named on the birth certificate, the other parent, or it's the mother, then they automatically have parental responsibility, in which case they are entitled to be consulted. It's rather more complicated if the other parent isn't on the birth certificate, because then there may be issues around parental responsibility and quite what one's obligation is.
I'm making a note now, podcast on parental responsibility.
Always a good idea.
Okay, so if parents are not in agreement, does a parent who wants to take the children on holiday need special permission from an English court to take a child on holiday from the UK?
Yes, they certainly would. And everyone needs to be aware that that's not something that the court could process fast. So if you're thinking about going on holiday and you think there might be a dispute, my best advice is to try to sort things out as soon as possible. If that's not possible, whether, you know, in emails or going along to family mediation or otherwise, make your application to the court, because the court is liable to take some months to be able to decide whether or not you can or can't go on a holiday overseas.
I mean, it's just not a good place, is it? Because understandably, some people might decide very last minute to book holidays for various reasons. And if you think, well, how long will it take me to go in, get a date in court, get into court and get a judge to kind of decide that I can take my child or children on holiday if my partner's not being forthcoming with allowing me to do that. And it could, as you say, it could take months, particularly, you know, as a result of the pandemic and the backlog of cases potentially that are being heard. So things can take. So I think that has to be really even more reason why trying to agree with your partner has got to be the most sensible way. And on that, I have to say, it's a two-way thing. Normally, separated partners will go somewhere on holidays, whether it's a staycation or abroad with the children. So it's probably wise to think, if you're being difficult with your partner, that it might be your turn next to say, well, I want to take the children. And it would be very sensible for you to be a little bit giving to get that in return. But all right, so what can I do? Right, and this is a question, if I do not want to give consent for my ex-partner to take the children away, what can I do?
Well, the first thing to consider is, why are you objecting? So are you objecting because you're worried about the actual place that the trip is to? Are you objecting because you haven't been given any information about the trip? Are you objecting because the trip is too long or the children don't want to go? So depending on what the basis is, depends on, you know, what might be the most sensible way for you to go about it. always consider mediation, having a go at mediation at the very least, or trying to understand what the trip is about. Ultimately, if you do have serious concerns, particularly about location and where your ex might be taking the children to, and are they going to come back from that place, that is a situation in which you should take legal advice, because child abduction is a very serious matter. It's a criminal offence, and equally, it may or it may not be possible to get an order from the overseas court for the return of the child.
It's all right.
There is a very good
doggy, Sarah. He's lovely.
There is a very good website called Reunite, which has got lots of information about child abduction.
That's another your podcast. Concern, I'm just writing that down now. Child abduction. Because you wouldn't imagine that it comes under that, would you? I mean, I know we're not going to speak about that today, but just as a heading, when I think of child abduction, I think of really serious stuff. Apart from the fact that your child is not with you and it's been taken by somebody, I don't automatically think by the other parent, I have to say. It just doesn't sit like that as a standard sort of thought in my head.
Right.
I think
I'm afraid it does in mine, yes.
Yes. No, I get it. But do you see what I mean? Like, I think child abduction is somebody that's not the parent, because I get it. Obviously, if a child's been taken away from either parent without.
Well, I think you'll find most child abductions are committed by the parent.
Yes.
So, I mean, sometimes they are basically committed accidentally. People don't realise what they have done. It's
really?
Also worth adding that if you have a child arrangement order, so you've already been to court and there's a child arrangement order providing for the child to live with you, then unless there's any other orders preventing you from taking the child overseas, you're entitled to take the child overseas for up to 28 days. But beyond that, then you would need specific written permission. So that's also worth bearing in mind. It's quite a complex area.
Is that 28 days over 12 months or 28 days in at any one time? I don't think they even have 28 days off at any one time. Maybe
it is in any one time.
Right. Okay.
Yes, in any one time.
So,
but that doesn't prevent a parent from going to court to stop that happening, but obviously everything would depend on the nature of the objection.
Okay, so if you do have serious concerns and it's not about, well, I don't think it's a safe country, or I just don't like that location for my children to holiday in, or my children didn't really want to go and I want to try and stop my partner. So if you have a genuine concern, and maybe even some form of evidence of some kind that you're they will be taken out of the country for good. Perhaps your partner's been speaking to friends and family who have said, look, he or she's planning to go away with them on holiday, but not planning to come back. They're setting up life elsewhere. What's the first thing that somebody should do? I mean, obviously take legal advice, but what other steps could be taken? You know, I'm guessing.
Well, you do need to get into
limited steps, orders and things like that.
Then you would need to go to court as soon as possible. And although I've talked about delays in the court system, the court can act very fast in emergencies. So don't worry about delays if it's an emergency. So you would need to contact your local family court very fast, and possibly ask for either a prohibited steps order or a port alert, although a port alert is only available from the High Court. So you would probably be best off getting some legal advice.
Yes.
I mean, some of these issues are really rather complicated.
I don't think I've ever asked you this, Sarah, over 10 years that I've known you or so. Do you do direct access?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
Right. Well, I think it's important for us to just mention that to our listeners. Direct access is when you can go directly to the barrister's clerk and say, I would like to use Miss Sarah Cooper to do my work without going through a law firm. It's not suitable for all cases, because cases that are very heavily administratively involved, a barrister wouldn't necessarily have the time to do all of that sort of stuff. But you could always ask or get a quotation or see whether your case is suitable for direct access. And as I said, in this case, for example, you'd call Thomas More Chambers, which is the chambers that Sarah's at, and you'll speak to her clerk, explain the situation, ask if you could have direct access assistance, which means, again, you don't need the solicitor's firm in between, which will save you on costs. And it is a great service when it can be executed for certain types of cases.
Thank you very much. Yes. No, it can work very well.
Indeed.
Do need to be aware that direct access is not something that will be suitable if you think you might be entitled to legal aid. So, but legal aid can take some time to come through.
Yes.
It's difficult in an emergency.
No, I get it. All right. We've got time to discuss one more area, and this can be quite a big area, so I'm glad we're going to cover it. What are the key points would you say are important to consider, Sarah, in these situations where, you know, you might have had a bit of a spat before you've taken your children away and you've taken them away anyway? You know, what kind of problems can be caused when you're trying to come back? I mean, you know, what other points would you say are really key for people to consider while they're in the UK before they take their trip with their British passport out of the UK? And why did we specifically say at the beginning of this conversation that this is relative to being in England and Wales and travelling from the UK?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, obviously, I'm an English barrister, so I can't give specific advice about what the law is in other countries. But my experience over almost the last 30 years has informed me that the law can be quite different. So, firstly, if you're not travelling on a British passport, you must ask for advice at the consulate of wherever, whichever country it is whose passport you're travelling on, because there may be quite different rules for children travelling with only one parent. I am well aware that in many countries in Latin America, as an example, if you're travelling on an overseas passport, you need a special authority signed by both parents, which can be processed at the overseas consulate in order to allow you to travel both into that country and possibly more importantly, back out of that country. Now, some of those issues don't just stop there in relation to whether you're travelling on an overseas passport. It's also possible that there are countries where even if you travel in on a British passport, that by virtue of the law of that country, it may not be straightforward to then travel out if you don't have the written permission of the other parent. Now, I obviously can't advise about each and every other country.
No, of course.
But if you're travelling somewhere that you're not sure about, then it's really down to you to check beforehand as to whether they've got any special restrictions or special rules if only one parent is travelling with the child. Because I have heard of cases where people have got stuck in other countries or have had some problem with immigration when they're trying to exit out of the country to come back here.
Would you say that that's, because obviously what's springing to my mind is, say, okay, you had a bit of a spat with your ex, you've gone abroad to another country without a UK passport. And I'm going to try and keep this really simple. So if you're there and you're just travelling back and that country doesn't know that you're separated or divorced from your partner, is it in those circumstances or just generally some countries may have an issue with only one parent travelling back, whether they know the relationship is, parents are together or not?
I think really that's not for me to comment on, because that would really be a matter for the law in other countries. I mean, my experience is, there have been problems sometimes for some parents traveling back from some places where the other parent isn't with them. That's, I think, all I can say. So best to check it out in advance.
No, and I think that's really important, because that's one of the things we're probably not really naturally thinking of here. If you've got issues with the other parent of taking the children abroad, you don't really think, well, what about when I'm trying to get back in? You just think of,
yes,
even if it's a, you know, a standard holiday, you've got your package holiday or your flight and hotel booked or accommodation, and you know, when you're going is you know, evidenced by your flights, and when you're coming back is evidenced by your flights. I think you don't really think of, well, what about coming back, especially if, and again, this all depends, as you quite rightly said, on the law of the country where you're coming back from, which we wouldn't possibly know sitting here, especially if your partner calls that country and says, you know, my partner's taking my kids there and I want them back, and they're alert to something. I don't know. They might even be more funny with you getting back.
Well, possibly, but I've certainly heard about cases where there have been problems with the overseas immigration issues, even where there were no problems with the ex. So, it is definitely something to consider before you go, even if you have got your ex's consent. And that is why, coming back to the first question you asked me about, I would recommend carrying something with you showing that you have the written consent of your ex to travel in and out of an overseas country. Because it's not just for the immigration authorities here, it's also for the overseas immigration authorities.
Yes, no, indeed. No, sound stuff. Thank you, Sarah. That's all we've got time for.
Thank you very much, and enjoy your holidays.
Thank you. No, thank you so much, Sarah. That's really, really, really important stuff and really crucial. So thank you again. And what I'll say to our listeners is, don't forget to click and subscribe to our podcasts. And you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter and YouTube by searching Get Legally Speaking. Also visit our website at getlegallyspeaking.com. Thank you for listening.
Empower yourself today and follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube and LinkedIn by searching Get Legally Speaking to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com. With over 3 million downloads and counting, do not miss out on learning more about a topic that interests you. Go over to our website at getlegallyspeaking.com and browse over 100 podcast episodes. Empower yourself today with legal knowledge and follow us on Instagram, Twitter or Facebook to get access to jargon-free legal information in plain and simple English. Today's episode is supported by Red Bar Law, the go-to law firm for expert, efficient and fast legal assistance, all at a fixed cost. Go to our website at redbarlaw.com.